Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Glad to be here this morning, and I hope you're also glad to be in the house of the Lord. The sermon I'm going to bring has to do with the day we are today. It's Remembrance Day. Well, actually, it's tomorrow, but I didn't think about it. But you know, sometimes the Lord just brings things together. Today, I'm going to talk about refugees and what God thinks about refugees. We've heard a lot about refugees since 2 years, right, with Rocks and Pound. A lot of people came in. A lot were not true refugees, but some were. So, oh, merci beaucoup. That's going to be, God's going to put this in your bank account.
Okay.
So what's a refugee? What's a refugee? A refugee is a person who's afraid for his life and he runs somewhere to be safe and sound. God had spoken to Moses in Deuteronomy and said, when you'll be in the promised land, I want you to build the cities of refuge. Moses died, and Joshua continued the work of God, and they landed up in Israel. And time had come to build cities of refuge. And please open your Bibles. We are in Joshua, the 20th chapter. And we're going to see the care of the Lord God for refugees. Sometimes we can be hard-hearted towards them, but it's not what the Lord God wants us. Joshua, verse 20. And today I will be making a link between the cities of refuge and what they represent and our refuge, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the refuge, the perfect, the eternal refuge for all who truly believe in Him. It's written, Joshua 20, then the Lord said to Joshua, tell the Israelites to designate the cities of refuge as I instructed you through Moses. Now, as I said, Moses, he's dead. But what I love about this verse is that even though Moses is dead, even though God had told Moses that this is what's going to happen, even though that person's dead, doesn't bother God. His plan continues on. His promises continues on. And we spoke about the eternity of God today in Sunday school. So it's wonderful to know that as time passes, even though man can die and another person can come and that person can pass away and so forth, the promises of God are always, always there. And God had made a promise. God had a plan for refugees. Moses is gone, but Joshua is there. So the Lord tells Joshua, tell the Israelites to designate the cities of refuge as I instructed through Moses. And then, starting at verse 3, we'll see why. Why have cities of refuge? It's written, so that anyone who kills a person accidentally and unintentionally may flee there and find protection from the avenger of blood. Sometimes accidents do happen. I'll use myself and my good friend, the GP, as an example. I go to where GP lives, and we're cutting wood. But this is 100 years ago, let's say, and we have axes. So I'm chopping a branch off a tree, and GP's over there, 20 feet away, and I go like this, and the head of the axe falls off and lands on the head of GP. Bang! GP, dies. This was unintentionally, because GP's a good friend. I didn't want him to die. I didn't even want him to get hurt, but it just happened. So the Lord God says that if a person kills accidentally and unintentionally a person, he may flee there to find protection from the avenger of blood. You know, the avenger of blood, that still exists today in some countries. If you go to Pakistan, Afghanistan, if you go to certain Muslim countries, the avengers of blood are there. In India also, what's an avenger of blood? Well, it's a person who's in the family and he wants to avenge the blood of the person that has been killed or crippled or disfigured by another person. So here, unintentionally, I kill GP. But The avenger of blood, which is his wife, Anne-Marie. Where's Anne-Marie? Anne-Marie, she really, really, really hates me because she thinks I killed him intentionally. So she says, Renal, I'm going to go and get you. So Renal doesn't want to die. So what does he do? He runs to a city of refuge. So what happens then? Let's continue our story. When he flees to one of these cities, in verse 4, he is to stand at the entrance of the city gate and state his case before the elders of that city. And here we are going to begin to see the relationship between the cities of refuge and Jesus Christ, who is my refuge. I kill GP. Anne-Marie wants my head. I run away. I arrive at one of the six cities of refuge that we will see. And I knock at the door. They open the gates. What am I to do? I am to state my case, right? So I have to say, I was working with GP and we were cutting wood and the head of my axe flew away, hit GP right in the forehead. Poor GP, he dies. Now his wife wants to kill me, but I didn't want to. It was an accident. Okay, they let him in. Now the parallel is the same with Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, you had to state your case before coming in. With Jesus Christ, each and every one of the people that becomes his disciples, the people that are saved, we must also state our case. There's not a single person that is not saved that did not come to Jesus and talk to him. I had to talk on that side to the elders of the city, so they allowed me to come in. Now with Jesus Christ, I have to talk to him. And when I was saved, what did I say? I said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm a failure. I'm doomed. I'm going to be judged by the Father and I'm going straight to hell. So I talked to Jesus and I asked Jesus, please save me. Come and save me. Be my Savior, please. And I gave my life to Jesus Christ. They had to explain. They had to talk before coming in. With Jesus Christ, we have to come to the cross and we have to talk to Jesus Christ and we have to explain and we also have to ask to come in Him. So there's a parallel for me, at least, that's easy to see. Discussion and acceptance. So let's continue our story. When he flees to one of these cities, verse 4, he is to stand in the entrance of the city gate, state his case before the elders of that city. Then they are to admit him into their city and give him a place to live with them. Once I have stated my case, what happened? They would open the doors and they would say, Ray, this is a safe place for you and you can be here. Once I come to the cross, once I speak to Jesus Christ with an honest heart, what happens? Jesus Christ accepts me because I have repented of my sin. And there is no one that he will ever, 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 ever refuse if you have a sincere heart and you come to him with repentance. So they accepted me, I enter. And when I come to Jesus Christ, I talk to him, I ask him to save me, and I also enter him. In the letter of Ephesians, Paul explains how we are in Jesus Christ, once we are his disciple, we become part of his body. So over there, I become part of the city, a member of the city. And with Jesus Christ, when he lets me enter, I become a member of his body. And there, I'm safe and sound because I'm in a city of refuge, right? Right. Right. And there, I'm safe and sound because I'm in Jesus Christ, right? Right. Yeah, all right. I like this, right? It's bigger and stronger than that right. Amen. Amen. So we'll continue our story. We're up to verse 5 now. Because there's another person, right? The avenger of blood. Anne-Marie. If the avenger of blood pursues him, they must not, listen, they must not surrender the one accused because he killed his neighbor unintentionally and without malice aforethought. So what happens is that the avenger of blood, he wants revenge. He wants to get me. He wants to kill me. He wants the honor of his family to be restored or whatever. So he comes. He comes to the gates. Well, she comes to the gates and she knocks, and she says, I want Renal. I want Ray. K- kick him out. I want to get him. I want to cut his head off or whatever. But what they do is that they say, no. He's inside. He's safe and sound. And you should see Marie's face. She's like, she can't get me. She can't get me. And you know what? When we are in Jesus Christ, the enemy of our soul, he can knock as much as he wants at the door of God. This is just an image. He can yell for me. He can be angry. He can be upset and roll all over the place, and he can want Renal. But you know what the Lord God says? No. Nope. You can't have him. He has found a refuge in my son, Jesus Christ. Just too bad. This is my way of saying it. It's not exactly like that, but you know what I mean. So the enemy, and amen, the enemy can be after me as much as he can. He can do whatever he wants. He can put up a fit or whatever. Doesn't matter to God. I'm safe and sound inside Jesus Christ because he is my refuge. So we're going to continue our story. Great story so far, right? Yeah, absolutely. It's written in verse 6, he is to stay in that city until he has stood trial before the assembly and until the death of the high priest. Ah, a fourth person is now in this story, a high priest. So he's to stay in the city until the death of the high priest who is serving at that time. Then he may go back to his home in the town from which he fled. And here what we understand is Ray is living in one of the city of refuge. He's safe and sound. No one can touch him. And he stays there and he stays and he stays there. And then one day, the high priest dies. Wow. And what happens when the high priest dies? He is totally liberated, right? It's written, he can go back to where he used to live and nobody's going to touch him. Now we have a high priest, right? Book of Hebrews, yeah, we have a high priest. And our high priest, what happened to our high priest? He what? He died, merci. He died at the cross. And what happens is that because our high priest, Jesus Christ, died at the cross, we are also set free. Isn't that wonderful? Hey, what a beautiful image that we find in the Old Testament of the perfect work of Jesus Christ. We have a high priest. The high priest lived a perfect life. As we saw, Hebrews 10:10-14, somebody upstairs called that. His sacrifice is perfect. His sacrifice is eternal. And we are set free from all of our enemies. So, wow. Beautiful, beautiful story. And in a way, Jesus Christ set us free. We are refugees in this sense. Our first parents, Adam and Eve, were kicked out of paradise. They became refugees, right? Their home was back there, but they had to find somewhere else to live. And all their descendants, the same thing. But Jesus Christ, as we will see, he came to rescue us and bring us back home. Now, in verse 7 and 8, we have the names of the six cities. And what I want to offer to you is the thought that each city represents in some way the person and work of Jesus Christ. So are you ready to listen? Are you ready to follow what I'm going to say? Yes, good. The first city, the first three cities are found in verse 7. Now the first city is called Kadesh. And all of you are taking notes. Kadesh in Hebrews means sacred place. It means sanctuary. I want to offer you the thought that Jesus Christ is our sanctuary and he is our sacred place. If you read Hebrews 8 verses 1 and 2, and I will read it for you. Hebrews 8 verses 1 and 2. This is what is written. Now, this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest, just like in Joshua 20. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavenlies, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. Jesus Christ, he is our sacred place. The Apostle Paul also tells us that we become part of his body. And because we are in Him, we are safe and sound. He is our sanctuary. You've heard of bird sanctuaries and wildlife sanctuaries and grasshopper sanctuaries or whatever. Jesus Christ, He is our sanctuary. More than that, He is the minister of the sanctuary of the Father. He is the one that takes care of it. He is the one that administers it. He is the boss of it. So just as one of the cities of refuge was called Kadesh, Jesus Christ, He is our Kadesh because He is our sanctuary. Amen? We find refuge in Him. He is our sanctuary and He is our sacred place. We are in Him and He is the Son of God. So we truly are, if you're a true believer today, you are in Christ. You are in that sacred place. But there's a second city. The second city is also found in verse 7. The second city is called Shechem. Now, Shechem in Hebrew means shoulder. But it gives the idea in Hebrew of one's burden. And that's the key word. One's burden. In French, we say, on met l'épaule à la roue. Hein? On met l'épaule à la roue. And that means that you're doing something and it's difficult and it's a big task and you sweat and you spend a lot of energy. Jesus Christ, He is our shoulder in the sense that He is the one that carried our burdens. And the best verses for this I find is Isaiah 53, verses 3, 4, and 5. Jesus is our Shechem because He carried our burdens. Listen to what Isaiah 53, 3 to 5 says. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, He was despised and we esteemed Him not. Listen to this. Surely He has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that made us whole, and with His stripes we are healed. Jesus Christ at the cross, He carried my burdens. He carried my sins. He carried my transgressions. And the Father struck Him instead of striking me. The Father judged Him instead of judging me. So, amen. Jesus Christ, He's not only my Kadesh, my sacred place, my sanctuary, but He is also the one who carried my burdens. Can I hear amen? Amen. Amen. There's a third city in verse 7. This third city is called Ebron. Now, Ebron in Hebrew means place, a place of joining. Now, I don't know if you have any imagination. It means a place of joining. It means alliance or covenant. Ebron, a place of joining. Jesus Christ is the place where God and man are what? Joined together. We are enemies of God if we are not in Jesus Christ. But because of what Christ has done at the cross, it has opened the doors. So we and the Father can become one. Not because of who we are, because I'm a great sinner, but because of what Christ has done at the cross. So Jesus Christ, and we can see this in Hebrews 12:24, where it's written, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks more graciously than the blood of Abel. Remember, Ebron means a place of joining, it means a covenant, it means alliance. Jesus Christ, He's the mediator of a new covenant, the covenant of grace through His blood. So brothers and sisters and friends, so far Jesus Christ, He's my Kadesh. Why? Because He's my sanctuary. He's my sacred place. Jesus is my Shechem because He carried my burdens at the cross. Jesus Christ is my Hebron because it's in Him that I am joined spiritually with the Father. And He's the author of a new covenant. Now in verse 8, we see three other cities of refuge. The fourth one is called Bezer in verse 8. Bezer in Hebrew means fortress. And that, again, is wonderful. It's easy to imagine. Jesus Christ is my fortress. What is a fortress for? A fortress is a place where you can run for safety, right? I see a fortress like the mighty lighthouses, right where the ocean meets the land. And when the storms come or there's fierce winds and you see these waves, they hit the lighthouses, but they don't budge. They're like fortresses. And Jesus, He is our fortress. Psalm 18 verse 2. Psalm 18 verse 2 describes Jesus or God as my fortress. It's written, the Lord is my rock. The Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge. And this is what we're talking about. Jesus Christ is our refuge. In whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation and my stronghold. And you can make a sermon just with this. But it's a beautiful picture of who Jesus Christ is. When you are afraid, when I am afraid, I run to Jesus and He protects me. Amen to that? He is my solid fortress. But there's a fifth city of refuge found in verse 8. And this one is called Ramoth. Now, Ramoth in Hebrew means high places, or it means to be high. And again, it's a wonderful picture of Jesus Christ in relationship with me because He is my refuge. In Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 6, it is written, speaking about Jesus, and raised us up together. Raised us up high, raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ. Now, I want to read this verse, because this verse is absolutely mind-blowing. Paul is explaining that we are spiritually, somehow, I don't understand, we are hidden in Jesus Christ. I'm part of the body of Jesus Christ. And Paul says that He raised us up together, and listen, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And how this is done, again, I don't know. But this is how the Father sees me and sees anybody who's a true born-again disciple of Jesus Christ. Because I am in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ right now is sitting where? At the right hand of the Father. And because Christ is there and I am in Christ, I also presently am sitting at the right hand of the Father. How that is done? Just simple. But that's the way the Father sees me. You believed in my Son. You gave your life to my Son. You repented. My Son is sitting right next to me, and you're in Him right now. And one day we will be with the Father for all eternity. So Jesus Christ, not only has He brought me to a high place, to the top of Mount Everest, but He brought me to the highest place possible in all the universe. At the right hand, sitting in Christ, right hand of the Father. That's something, right? Right? Absolutely. Come on, be alive. Be thankful. Be thankful. It's like, I was telling this morning in the discipleship course, the way that God relates to human beings is different with angels and with animals and this and that. And I was wondering, I know it's not true. Angels don't have feathers and hair and whatever. They're spirits. But I was just thinking, you know, I can imagine the angels plucking their hairs off their head, saying, how come God the Father, you know, reacts and acts with Ray that way, and with us it's different, because there's no salvation for the fallen angels, but there's salvation for fallen man. Just another thought. The last city of refuge, Golan. Golan means exile. And here I can see two things. I can see that Jesus was exiled from heaven to come to earth to be able to save us. He had to come here. He had to take the form of man, the body of man, to do so. It also gives the idea that I have been exiled, but now, as we will see, I have been brought back to the Father. So my reference to Jesus Christ in relationship with exile is found in Ephesians 2, verses 11 to 13. Ephesians 2, 11 to 13, where the Apostle Paul writes, "Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time, and think of exile, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth," had nothing to do with Israel, "strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope, without God in the world." We were really exiled from the presence of God, the person of God, and the presence of God. But verse 13, it's written, "But now in Christ Jesus," I love, and I say it often, I love those three-letter words, "but," you know? "But I'm exiled. God has nothing to do with me. I'm his enemy." But why? Verse 13, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off, a refugee, exiled, have been what? Brought near by the blood of Christ." I was exiled, but now the blood of Christ has brought me near, has brought me in the covenant, has made me a child of God by adoption. So brothers and sisters, Jesus truly is our refuge. And we should be so thankful that we have this refuge. Jesus, he's my Kadesh, because he's my sanctuary. He's my sacred place. Jesus is my Sishem, because he carried my burdens at the cross. Jesus is my Ebron, because he's my meeting place between the Father and myself. Jesus, he's my Bezer, because he's my fortress and I can run to him. Jesus is my Ramoth, because he is my high place. He has brought me to be next to the Father. And finally, Jesus, he is my Golan, because he exiled myself so I could be brought back unto the Father. Don't we have a wonderful Savior? Don't we have a wonderful refuge in Christ? Shouldn't we love him more, adore him, and be at his service? May God bless all of you. Amen?
Amen.
And it's good to be back home.
Yes.
God bless you.
Yes.
Thank you.